Well, good morning. So glad to be here. Thank you guys for having me out again. I appreciate the opportunity. Just always an incredible opportunity to bring God's word before God's people, even if it's not a congregation that I'm familiar with. I'm very thankful that your pastor has time to go out on a vacation. Very thankful that he is blessed with a congregation that encourages him to do so and that makes it possible for him to do so. I know that he does a lot for you, way more than I know, way more than most of us know. Amen. So be thankful for him when he comes back. Absolutely tell him that you missed him, okay? And show him just how much you need him here to lead you. I wanted to start off by introducing who I am. My name is Justin Bingham. I'm a teacher at High Point Christian Academy. I teach high school Bible. I'm the head of the Bible department there. I teach online studies and study skills as well. I have a passion for tutoring and a passion for mentoring, a passion for teaching God's Word, and I led my youth group at my church, Wellspring Community Church, just down the road for several years, and so I just have a passion for young people especially. I have a passion for teaching people how to read the Word and how to get into it and to find it fascinating and fun. So that's a little bit about me. That's enough. I've heard from Pastor that you are going through 1 Corinthians and you're starting to learn and dig in a little bit about what the church is and trying to get an idea of how did they do this in the first century? How did the first church gather around and how they get sort of get the wings off the ground, so to speak, and how did they take flight forward into what we have today? And so I would encourage you with this. My desire for the sermon today, I want to put a little background hum into the next couple of weeks as you're studying with one another, as you're studying during the week and on Sunday mornings. When you're learning about what the church is, I want you to have this sort of background hum so that you can know, okay, what is all of this story sitting on top of? What's the foundation? The story in Corinthians, it feels a little disjointed from the rest of it. How do I make connections? And so I'm going to encourage you with that a little bit today as we read and take a look. So to put a background hum in what he's doing and to give you a gift, sort of, an encouragement to read. If you haven't read it, you should read it, the book of Acts. Okay, I know that he's taking you through 1 Corinthians, and that is great. And I don't think that he'd be upset at all for me to encourage you to read through the book of Acts. If you've already read it, great, read it again. It is an incredible story. It's the beginning of our story as a church. And most of us here, I do believe, are Gentiles. And so it is the beginning of our story coming into, you can check that out in Acts chapter 10, coming into the saving faith of a Messiah, Jesus, who is very Jewish. And so, like, how do we bridge the gap between cultures is a great question that Acts sort of goes through. And so I would encourage you to read the book. If you haven't read it, read it. If you have already read it, read it again. 28 chapters, that means if you read 4 chapters a day, you can finish it in a week. Yeah? So that means you should be able to read it through 4 times in a month. Yeah? Okay, you can tell I'm a teacher. All right, so that's sort of my passion. So in the days to come, over the next month or so, over the next 50 days, you can hear me say 50 days quite a bit today, in the next 50 days, will you be able to explain to others that you are connected to, why you are convicted, why you have this conviction about who Jesus is and who you were before you came to faith? Even if that was a story that started with you a long time ago, or it's still a story that's kind of fresh, are you convicted is the question that I'm going to ask today. And then I'll ask you a second question after convicted. Are you convinced? Are you convinced truly that this is the story? Are you convinced that this is why we do this church thing? And what are you convinced of is a good question, because people are going to wonder that. As you share your faith with people, they're going to wonder, what are you convinced of? Why do you have the faith that you do? Why do you have the joy that you have? How come you feel like you can just be centered in the gospel and the goodness of Jesus while all of this is happening in the world around you? What is the reason for the hope that you have? Are you convicted? Are you convinced? And third, are you living out your convictions? Okay, do you have convictions that cause you to walk one path rather than another? Convictions that cause you to make certain decisions rather than others? So in the days to come, hopefully you'll be able to explain to others why you have those convictions. So let's go ahead and begin with a little word of prayer. I need it. I think we all need it. And let's go before the throne. Lord and Savior, we thank you that you sit on the throne of our world. You are enthroned above all of creation. And you have this moment and all moments safely in your sovereign hand. And you have our story and the stuff that came from our past and the stuff that's coming in our future. And you have our neighbor's story and the person that's on our heart right now that we wish was here. You have their story. And Father, you are so good to send us your Son and to send us your Spirit. Father, we just want to be convicted and we want to be convinced and we want to have the power to live out our convictions and to know what it is that you're calling us to do. Thank you so much that your Son sits on the throne and there will be none other to occupy that throne. We thank you so much that we are called to gather around the throne and he asks us to come freely and we can run to his throne. We can sit at his feet. We can listen to him. Thank you so much that you've opened up a way for us to come to him and that you encourage us to come at any moment. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would have the strength to grab someone's hand and to bring them to the throne this week specifically. Lord Jesus, give us someone that we can spread the gospel to, that we can tell the truth to. Father, give us the strength to be able to do that when the moment comes. Help us to have the word ready. Even if we don't know what we ought to say, we trust your promise, Lord, that you will give us the words to speak. And so, Father, right now we pray for the boldness to speak those words, for the opportunity to speak those words. Father, help us to get straight with you deep down in the core of who we are. And Lord, we ask that you just lead us to the cross and lead us to your throne. It's in your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. All right, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians if you want to go there. 1 Corinthians 15. I hope I'm not spoiling anything. I'm kind of going to the end of the book. Are there any among you who, when you read a book, sometimes you will flip to the end and read the last chapter first? Okay, oh, you horrible people. Okay, normally I'm just like, don't do that, right? But I really think it's important in the book of 1 Corinthians to understand where Paul is coming from. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he'll give you an understanding of what the rest of the book of Corinthians sort of culminates to. Paul is building to a point, and the point is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm going to read the first couple of verses for you. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel. It's a weird thing to remind church people of. Do we need to be reminded of the gospel? Okay, all right, sorry, just thinking out loud. The gospel that I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. Okay, so apparently Paul thinks that the gospel is a firm foundation on which we stand, that this is where we stand, and this is where we move and operate. That this is where we launch from, okay? Those of you who are longing for summer days, this is the diving board, okay, that will launch you into the wonderful coolness of the pool, right? That this is the thing that we launch from and that where we go from. This is our nest that the baby birds fly from. This is the gospel, the firm foundation. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Okay, now this is where I start to get excited because this is one of the, what you're about to read is one of the oldest things in Christianity. Okay, some of the scholars believe that this is probably the very first, the oldest Christian creed that existed in Christianity and that Paul has incorporated here in the text. Now, scholars go into a lot of long and lengthy stuff. I don't want to put anybody to sleep tonight or this morning. So, like, if you're interested in looking up some of that stuff, you can check out a guy. His name's Gary Habermas. He teaches at Liberty University. Okay. He's just one of my heroes. You should check him out. But scholars tell us that this is probably an early Christian creed that he has incorporated here in 1 Corinthians. That's what he means when he says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So a creed is a statement of belief. This is what we believe as Christians. Let's read it. That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. That is the gospel. That's the core of what we believe in a nutshell, isn't it? That's why Jesus is special to us. That's the thing that makes all the difference. It's not, first and foremost, what he taught. It's the fact that he came back from the dead, verifying that what he taught was true. Is at the core of what we believe, that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, if we can believe that, can we move forward into other things that Christians believe? Yes or no? But if we don't believe that one, that's like the core nugget. There's a lot of things in Christianity, some of which kind of wiggle. We have to hold them with an open hand, right? And there's some freedom that we have in how we believe the interpretation of this or how we believe in the interpretation of that. But this thing don't wiggle. This thing is firm. Jesus Christ came back from the dead. And on that, there is good news. And that is our firm foundation. That's where we take our stand. So what's the reason for the hope that you have? Jesus Christ is risen. Amen? He is risen indeed. Right? Which is incredibly good news because it's the start of everything. Now, I want to take a look a little bit past the creed. Look at verse 7. Paul tosses in his own little piece. He says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, or another translation you could say, untimely born. What he's saying here could mean that when I came to saving faith, it was such a shock. It was like a shock that sent a woman into premature labor. It was such a moment of change, and something came upon me. You know, when labor starts, there's no going back. True? When that moment happens, there's no going back. You might be able to prolong it a little bit, but that baby will be born. Yes? Okay? This is what he's saying here. He says, he appeared to me as one abnormally born, that when he came to me, there was such a shock, such a change, that everything just diverted from one path that I was walking onto another. Yes? Now, the shock of an untimely birth, this kind of birthing process, is this your story of how you came to saving faith? Do many of us have that kind of story of we had just this, we were walking along and all of a sudden we hit a brick wall? It was incredibly sudden, incredibly different, and everything just diverted and changed. Is that your story? Or is your story more like, well, I kind of walked into it slowly down the road? I think many of us have this slow progress of walking into this Jesus thing. Okay, not many of us have that sudden break with the way we used to live into the way we live now. Our salvation experience wasn't a spontaneous moment. It was a, wow, looking back, Jesus had me for a while. And I just didn't realize it until right now that I sort of eased into this Christianity thing. And some of you might still feel like you're there. I'm still easing into this Christianity thing. That who Jesus is becoming clearer to me every day, and stuff's changing, but it's changing bit by bit. It's changing little by little. So I want you to think about your own story and look at Paul's story here. Our story begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the fact that that is a real thing moves us into this, not just a historical fact, but something that actually changes the way I do my regular day. Yeah? George Washington was our first president, but I bet that doesn't change the way you do your regular day, your everyday. Right? You know that fact. It's a historical fact. But it doesn't change much about how you live your everyday. The fact that Jesus was raised as Christians, that really should change how we do our everyday. Yeah? This is a kind of moment where you're like, wow, okay, am I convicted that has this Christianity thing changed much? I want you to ask that of yourself. Okay, I don't want you to feel guilty that it hasn't changed more. I want you to think about what has it changed. Does it change my everyday? Jesus, I wake up in the morning and Jesus is enthroned. I don't have to put him there. Yeah? But do I acknowledge that he's on the throne? How long does it take me? Yeah? Does it take your first crisis in the day before you recognize, oh yes, Jesus, you're on the throne. By the way, I need help. Right? Does it take your first crisis to recognize that he's on the throne? Right? Does it take the stuff in the daily life that pushes on you to recognize that he's on the throne? Does it take the fact that I don't want to get out of bed this morning? You ever have those? Does it take that kind of, I've opened my eyes and I really don't want to even get out of bed this morning. Lord Jesus, I need your help. Does it take the Lord Jesus, it hurts to get out of bed this morning. And if I laid here any longer, that would hurt too. Right? What is it that drives you to the throne is a great question. I look at this and I think, what drove Paul to the throne? Well, Jesus appeared to him in his face, which is like Jesus got in people's faces. He got a little up close and personal. Wow. Okay, so sometimes you have to sit and think about these things. Or my grandfather taught me, this is the way you do it. You go take a walk. I was raised by my grandparents. My grandfather was a country boy from Mount Airy. And he told me that when, you know, sometimes when you have to think about something deep or difficult, and sometimes he would tell me something that I didn't exactly like, he would just say it, and then he would say, Justin, just go take a walk. Right? I'd walk out my front porch. I'd cross the street. We lived across from a golf course, and I would just walk on the golf course. Right? And sometimes Grandpa would walk with me, and we wouldn't talk about anything. We'd just walk, and we'd think. And so I'm going to encourage you over the next 50 days, I want you to just take this Christianity idea for a little walk. See if it's for you. See if you are convicted. Are you really convinced that Jesus rose from the grave? And if so, are you living out those convictions? And when I say take a walk with it, walk through 1 Corinthians with your pastor. Walk through the book of Acts in the background. Okay? Let that be your background hum and say, this is the historical story that these people walked through. Is this my story? Am I going to join in this story? Right? Or is this something just sort of separate from who I am as a Christian? From how I think as a Christian? Okay? Just take my grandfather's advice and take a little walk with that. So I teach. And one of the things I do in Bible 3 is New Testament studies, so I have these flashcards, and typically I'll bring out my flashcards, and I'll just start going through flashcards with students, and the flashcards say like a key phrase. And when I show the students the key phrase, they repeat to me back what the book is, okay? And so I have two flashcards for the book of Acts. My first flashcard is the spread of the gospel, because that's what the book's about, how the gospel was spread, like everywhere, among all kinds of people. And the second flashcard is, Jesus is the living Lord, okay? So the book of Acts is about Jesus is the living Lord, and so since he's the living Lord, and these people were convicted and convinced, and they wanted to live out those convictions that Jesus was living, not dead, what did they do? They spread the gospel, okay? It wasn't a, well, I'll believe this one and not that one, yeah? Now, if you were walking along, right? Maybe in the parking lot, maybe in Walmart. You're walking along in Walmart, and then you notice there on the ground, somebody has dropped a $100 bill. Okay? That'd be nice to have, yes? Right? But if you're going to pick up the $100 bill, you can't pick up just the front of it. Does that make sense? When you pick up the $100 bill, you get the front and the back. You with me? You can't have one without the other. So this Jesus as Lord thing that, I'll pick that up, right? Oh, he's living. Yes, I'll pick that up. He's resurrected from the dead. I'll pick that up. You know what's on the other side? Spreading the gospel. If we really believe that that's the case, then we're going to be thinking that way, moving in that direction, or at least praying that you might have the umph to do it this week, Does that make sense? Or maybe this day, whoever it is that you're going to encounter. So the book of Acts is about the spread of the gospel and Jesus as the living Lord. These people felt convicted that they previously had not understood to the ultimate extent who Jesus was. Got that? And so with that conviction, they decided to repent of their misunderstanding of who Jesus is. I thought Jesus was this, but he's so much more. So here's your challenge. Here's your homework from the teacher, okay? Go read Acts chapter 2, Peter's first sermon. The whole sermon's about, you thought Jesus was this? Well, guess what? He's more. Repent from your misunderstanding of who Jesus is. It's pretty simple. You thought he was this, but he's so much more. Wouldn't you like him to be? So Acts chapter 2 really makes that clear. And these people, they repented of their misunderstanding. They had diminished who Jesus was in their head and in their heart, right? They had put him on a cross. They'd killed him. And even though even the people who didn't actively kill him, they had abandoned him. They didn't stand up for him. They didn't do anything to get in the way of Jesus going to the cross. This one they followed, this one they claimed they loved, was being sentenced to death, and they remained silent about it. And now, in Acts chapter 2, 50 days after Jesus' death, something's changed. Suddenly, these cowards have power, right? And they're standing up in front of people and they're telling people about Jesus as their living Lord. They've decided to put him on the throne that he already occupies. They've decided to crown him with many crowns. Is this a beautiful thing? Is this what we want? And so since they were convicted, they steadily became more and more convinced that this was the case. And they started spreading the good news. They got serious about spreading the good news. They tried to not just spread the good news in telling people about Jesus, but they actually tried to live this stuff out in their daily lives of how did I treat family? Jesus revolutionized the family. Read the New Testament and you'll find that family dynamics changed in the Christian household. It was amazing compared to the Roman dynamics that were considered the norm. Jesus changed things about the way men related to women in public. Jesus changed things about the way men and women related to children in public. Isn't that strange? That most of the world that we live in, this Judeo-Christian culture that we have and we enjoy, even people who don't go to church enjoy it, they're growing from a soil that's incredibly loving. Yeah? It values the other person, and it teaches this foundation of why we ought to value other people, even if we don't see eye to eye, even if they don't come to our church, even if they don't believe in our Jesus, why this person is valuable because they were created in the image of God. That changes people. And that started to happen in the book of Acts. So I would encourage you, please, to read it. I think this is why we do this church thing. Yeah? I think it's why we turn, to do what the young kids are doing. They like to take nouns and turn them into verbs. This is why we church. Have you heard the young kids say stuff like adulting? Okay, they've turned a noun into a verb, right? Or an adjective into a verb. They're like, I can't adult today. And I'm just like, adult is something you are, not something you do. Adult is something you are, not something you do, right? I'm just like trying to impress this upon them. This idea of, okay, so let's just join the younger crowd in, let's church for a minute, okay? Let's not just be the church, let's do it, let's church, okay? This is why we church, this is why we fellowship, this is why we serve, this is why we fight against the presence of sin in our lives. All because, at the core, I believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He's not who I thought he was. And I'm convicted by that. I'm convicted by my former way of life, and I'm convinced of this thing, so I want to live out my convictions and let that change me. Yeah? Let's pray about that just really quick. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we confess to you that you are not who we thought you were. You are so much more. You are so much bigger, so much better. Lord Jesus, you are not who we thought you were. You are King of the universe. and you are much, much better than we thought. Our idea of good compares to nothing compared to what you really are. Our idea of love is nothing compared to how you define it. So, Lord Jesus, we repent of who we thought you were, and we ask now, Jesus, that you would start to reveal yourself to us, who you really are, so that we can be convinced. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us the power to stand up against sin, the power to grab hold of your gospel and to run into darkness with it. We pray for opportunity this week that we would be able to live out our convictions, that it wouldn't be just something that we know in the back of our heads. We thank you so much that you've been incredibly patient with us. Fill us with your patience so that we can be patient with others. You've been gentle with us. Give us your gentleness. Give us your strength. Give us opportunity. Let us be bold with it. Father, when we encounter people, help us to show them your love and your goodness and your patience and your gentleness and your boldness. Father, I pray over this congregation today that as they encounter people this week specifically, that those people they encounter would come away feeling as if something has changed about their life. They've come in contact with something powerful because we are holding your Holy Spirit and we are doing your work for you. We are saying your words for you because it's that important to us. Lord, I pray that they would flock to these doors. And they would come because they feel like they've got nowhere else to go. And Lord Jesus, I pray over this congregation that we would make room for them and that we would be patient with them, that we would welcome them in and they would come to your throne and that we would have such joy that we get to clasp hands with somebody new and bring them to your Son and introduce them to your Son. Father, we want that this week. And we know that you are good, that if we ask for things like this, that you will provide them. And so we ask for the strength and the boldness to do it when it happens. And it's in your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. So, a little bit further, because I want to give you some homework. Sorry, teacher. So you want to be convinced, and you want to be convicted, and you want to live out your convictions. So I would encourage you to read the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, you're going to see how these people did this. And it's a variety of people. And they're going to a variety of people. And so I'm going to give you three words. Early, expansive, explosive. Early, expansive, explosive. Okay? Any of you who have ever planted anything, you kind of always want to see early growth, yes? Because you want to know, did the seed I put in the ground actually sprout, or is it just shriveling and dying in the ground? Is there going to be something that grows or not? You want to see early growth. I get it. Everybody wants to see quick fruit. So if you read the book of Acts, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see early growth. And what I mean by that is we have, oh goodness, Jesus died on Passover. He was buried on, he was in the ground on unleavened bread, and he was raised on first fruits. It was about a couple days later. And what's really strange is from Passover to Pentecost, when they got the Holy Spirit, that's a period of 50 days. Now, in that period of 50 days, this church was about 120 people. 120 people were still growing and continuing the faith, even though, historically, Jesus was dead. Yeah? To an outsider, Jesus was dead, not raised. And so it makes me step back and go, I wonder what made those people continue on with these practices if the Messiah they were following was a dead Messiah. Nobody follows a dead Messiah. A dead Messiah means that you're not the Messiah. Okay? Check out Acts chapter 5 for that. That's pretty good. But so these people, for about 120 people over 50 days, and they continue to grow. And then what happened on day 50? We got an expansive growth, an explosive growth of more than 3,000 people in one day. Okay? I want you to imagine this. What if this week we got serious about spreading the gospel so much that next week when Pastor Bowman comes back, there's more than 3,000 people trying to fit in this building? Would he wonder what has changed? If you missed church service for 1 week and you came back and then you noticed, wow, more than 3,000 people are here, what did I miss? Would you wonder what made the difference? And keep in mind, what is the core thing that makes the difference? Jesus is raised. Yes? Jesus is raised, and that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference in my life and in your life, and that will make the difference in your neighbor's life, the one you keep trying to get to church. Right? And that family member that you want saved, that will be the thing that makes the difference. That will be the early growth. And so I want to encourage you with that. There was early growth in the church, and you're going to see that if you read the book of Acts. So please read that. You will see different. You will see people who were disciples coming to greater faith. You will see indifferent people, people who are just like, I'm kind of not even interested. You will see even previous enemies, crypto Christians, come to saving faith. People who are just like, yeah, Jesus was the Messiah, but I kind of don't want to say that because I might lose my job. Those are crypto Christians. They came to saving faith. Family members came to saving faith. It's really weird. Have you ever thought about this? Like, what convinced Mary to worship her son as God? What convinced James, Jesus' brother, he wrote the book of James, to worship his brother as God? What convinced Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, that's another Jesus' brother, to worship him as God? I don't think Jesus is still dead. Yeah? I think maybe that knowledge of Jesus is risen changed these people. So when you read the book of Acts, you'll see early growth. Second thing you'll see is expansive growth. And I think you want this for yourself as well. So you had Hebrew Jews, and they were reaching out to diaspora Jews. These are Jews who didn't live in the promised land, okay? Faraway cousins. And they even reached out to Samaritans. Jews would not touch Samaritans, but if you read Acts chapter 8, Peter and John lay hands on these people. They touch them. They pray that they will receive the Holy Spirit. Gentiles come to saving faith in Jesus in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, we should read this because it's the beginning of our story. That's where we are. And you even see various groups of people. You see members of the military. You see political leaders. You see priests. You see women. You see slaves. You see pagans, you see sorcerers, you see the poor as well as the rich, you see philosophers, you even see the uneducated, or as Paul calls it, you see the Greeks, which are sophisticated city folk people, and you see the barbarians, which are the country bumpkins. Okay? All kinds of people are like running to the doors of the church. They want to know who this Jesus is. And what's really cool is, once you get on the inside, you have the rich associating with the poor. You have people of different race associating with one another. And the church becomes multi-ethnic. And you have all of these cultures coming together. And you have some people from a very illustrious background hanging with people who are not so amazing background. And they're eating meals together. They're doing fellowship together. They're doing life together. Guys, something changed them. They were convicted. They were convinced. They lived out their convictions, and the resurrection of Jesus was what made that all possible. So I'm asking you now, do you want early growth? Do you want expansive growth? Who do you want to go to? Who do you want to tell the gospel to? People who look like you, think like you, act like you? Older people here, do you want to reach out to the younger ones? I know sometimes they make us tired, right? But do you want to reach out to the younger ones? Younger people here, do you want to go to the older crowd? Do you want to share the gospel with your mom and dad, even if they already know it? It's a safe place to start, isn't it? It's a great place to practice. Practice on your own family members. Practice on the people who live under your roof. They're a captive audience. They can't get away. Right? They might not accept it today, but you just wake up and then you wake up the next morning and guess what? You go back at it. New tactic. It's a new day. Mercies are new every morning, right? We're going to have a new conversation today. So aim for the family, right? Call up the brother or sister you haven't talked to in a while. Who cares why you haven't talked to them? Just check on them. How they doing?
How are they doing?
Well, Justin, if I do that, that's going to open up pain and suffering to come into my life.
I know.
Yeah, I know. As I'm saying this to you, I'm thinking of an uncle. Right? I really don't want to call my uncle. Okay? Love my uncle, but I'm glad he hasn't called me in a while, and I really don't want to call him. I don't want to have this kind of conversation. And the Lord is like saying, well, what about him?
Oh.
Okay. All right. Maybe. If I'm really aiming for expansive growth, who am I going to call? Who am I going to have a conversation with? How am I going to expand this thing? So if you read Acts, you're going to see early growth, expansive growth, and you're going to see this too. This is the exciting one. Explosive growth. Okay? You are really going to see this thing take off in ways that you never expected. It might be that you have to have a conversation more than once, but you never expected to be able to even have that conversation once. Yeah? And now you got the door open. Now you can tell someone about the gospel, and maybe you can say it a little bit differently. Right? Maybe my uncle is not interested in hearing the gospel, but maybe I can call him up and ask him how I can pray for him. Who knows what door that will open? So explosive growth. 50 days after Jesus' death, this went from 120 to more than 3,000 in one day. It was so explosive. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll notice that there was the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem that actually started anti-missionary efforts to chase Paul down because of everywhere Paul was going, he was making converts. Right? He was teaching people about the gospel, teaching them about how to leave their former way of life and come to Messiah Jesus. Pagan cultures, even the government got involved. Okay, now I'm not calling anything down on us, but like, wouldn't it be interesting if the government took notice of how many people were coming to this building throughout the week just because they couldn't get enough Jesus, right? And how many, I mean, I saw one of your advertisements up on the screen earlier today about going to Pioneer Restaurant, right? Wouldn't it be interesting, like, if I mean, like, nobody else could get in the place because all those church people are there. That's really interesting, right? That's kind of fascinating. Why the sudden growth at Pioneer Restaurant? Well, because we're all going out together. We're spending time together. We're going out and doing this thing together. This is our fellowship. This is how we church. So the goal this week, and I'm going to really push this again, if you can, try to read through the book of Acts. 4 chapters a day, we'll get it done. Okay? Read through the book of Acts, say a prayer over it, and ask, Lord Jesus, in the days coming, how can I be like these people? How can I take their story and make it my own? How can I join my story to what it is that they're doing? Who else in my church can I get involved in this and talk about it with and get excited about it with and have some passion? Yeah? Who am I going to reach? Who am I going to call next? Lord Jesus, that conversation didn't go well, but I'm on to the next one. I'm going through my book, figuring out who I'm going to call next and have a conversation, maybe even have some prayer time with. So hopefully you'll be able to explain to others why you're convicted. Someone's going to ask you, hopefully, why are you so happy? Don't you know what's happening in the news lately? Why are you so cheery? You seem to think that the world is like moving in a better direction than the rest of us. What's up with that? They're going to want to know about your convictions if you truly are convicted, if you truly are convinced. And so I pray that blessing over you. I hope that somebody looks at you this week and starts to notice your early growth, right? Your expansive growth, your explosive growth. And if that's what we want, well, explosions need fuel. Is that true? Explosions need some kind of fuel. I don't think we can do this in our own power. Yeah? Some of you have been at this for a while and you know a lot about Christianity. You know a lot about Jesus. You know a lot about the Bible. And that is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't fuel this thing that Jesus is going to do in you. It's just too big.
that should like really make you excited. If Jesus is going to fuel this thing, oh my goodness, it's going to explode. Over everybody I know, there's going to be so much collateral damage, right? Everybody's going to hear about the gospel when they come into contact with me this week in some way. Yeah? And so if you want that, I would encourage you, fuel that. Fuel that. Read 1 Corinthians. Read God's Word. Read Acts. Okay? Spend time in prayer. Spend time with one another. Call one another up and encourage one another. Because I think this is our mission this week. And this can really change things if we just open the door and say, okay, Jesus, what you got for me now? Let me pray over you, and then I'll pass it on. And I believe Jeff is going to do the benediction today. Is that true? All right, cool. Let me pray real quick. Lord Jesus, I just feel a hum of excitement in me. Father, I pray that the congregation feels a hum of excitement in them. And Lord Jesus, let it last past lunch. If we decide to go out to lunch, let us be kind to our waiters and waitresses. Let us tip them well. Help us to be bold enough to maybe even mention your name, to ask how we can pray for our waiters and waitresses. Father, I pray that it would expand past that. We want early growth, Jesus. We want expansive growth. We want explosive growth. Lord Jesus, we want to know when we lay our head on the pillow tonight that we're convicted and convinced. And we need your strength. We need your power, Holy Spirit. We need your power to break the pattern of sin in our life. We need your power to break the power of distraction. We need to be able to be focused on this one thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is so simple. You have done all the work. And we just get to tell people about it. I pray over the congregation that we would have such joy when we do that, that this building would not be able to contain the people who want to come to you. I pray for restoration in family, Lord Jesus, that broken family relationships will be repaired because of conversations we're going to have. I pray that marriages will grow stronger because of these conversations. I pray that children would love their parents more and obey their parents better. And I pray that parents would be more loving and more caring to their children because of this. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you, to sit you on the throne, and just to say, what is it that you would have us do today? Thank you so much that you have made it so easy. We just get to go and tell. And so, Lord, fuel us. Give us the power to go and tell. Give us the words to say. Help us to put fear in the back seat and just to be bold for you. And I pray that over every individual in this congregation, over every person who's listening at home. Lord Jesus, we ask that eternity would be changed today because of something you are doing in us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.